This morning in the Atlanta airport, no one's missing a meal on Mac Wilburn's watch.
With 11 restaurants to serve passengers, he's got dining for every destination.
And it all started when Mac talked with First Horizon Bank about opening a franchise in the airport. Now it's open for business and cleared for takeoff. First Horizon Bank, let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/Mac. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
It's the Golf Show with Brian Katrick.
He's been the talk of the course today with his huge drives.
And Ollie Dean.
I really am rugged and handsome.
It's early Sunday morning. The sun is coming up. I'm on the tee at 7. I'm here to try my luck. They say this game's a tough one, but I'll give it my best shot. Though the bunkers look like beaches and the greens like parking lots. Oh, Lord.
Big match coming up. I'm going to be me and a caddy.
What am I going to do?
Why don't you try him a little left? And why don't you try back up and give me just a little room?
Help me keep my head down. Save me from those double bogey blues.
Golf requires goofy pants and a fat ass.
You don't deserve any credit hitting the ball with that swing of yours. Try to hit one with my swing.
I'm catching on the ball, right? Moving my head. Now I'm laying it off. Well, then, two. I'm proning. When you're shooting me, I'm clearing too early. I'm clearing too late. My God, my swing through my unfolded lawn chair.
It looks like I'm a wreck. It's in the hole!
Save me from the double bogey blue.
Gunga Galunga.
We're so glad to have you with us here. Happy Sunday morning. It's the Golf Show on the Fan, 680 and 93.7 FM. We're live from a major championship, the Dogwood Golf Club, Austell, Georgia. It is Club Championship Sunday.
Championship Sunday.
It is all.
Did you notice what I wore today?
I saw that you wore the victory red.
I want to inspire you.
In anticipation.
I needed to inspire you. I need a win in my life. Because
yes.
I watched both ends of the doubleheader yesterday.
Oh.
I need a win. I need you to come home with this thing. So I wore the victory red to inspire you on that first tee.
Yes.
So think about, this is not just about you, Brian. This championship is about a lot of people.
Tell me, I got the hopes of an entire community.
Riding on your shoulders.
Is today a day game or a night game with the Mets?
It's 3 o'clock start.
3 o'clock start. We'll be over with by then. 4:10 first pitch, says Derek Thomas, who knows these things.
3 o'clock in the Central Time Zone.
From Citi Field. Yes, we, Ollie and I, notoriously operate on the Central Time Zone. We're only about 60 miles from the Central Time Zone.
Exactly.
Here at the Dogwood Golf.
I'm sure we have coverage in Phoenix City.
Phoenix City, Eastern time zone.
That is correct.
Remember that?
They have annexed themselves.
We had that conversation.
From the Central time zone.
Yes, who knew?
They have joined the Eastern time zone.
I don't know how they did it.
I don't know.
I do know why, and I'm glad they did it, but I don't know how they did that. I mean, think about that. I can't get on a no-call list.
No, but they annexed an
entire
time
zone. They decided they're in a whole different time zone.
Good for them.
Yes, I walked into the Renaissance down there at St. Augustine. I stay there all the time, and I've been staying there for many, 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 many years.
It's the one right across from Bill Murray's brother's.
Yeah, the Caddyshack.
The Caddyshack.
Exactly.
Is it like an anniversary for Caddyshack?
Did we just have, did Derek tell us that?
I don't think so.
Yeah, so sometimes, Dennis, if you're going to bring it up, why don't you look it up?
I'm not looking it up.
Never mind. I'm not even going to tell the Marriott story. They always want my phone number.
Right.
And I'm like, first of all, I'm already in your club. You already have my phone number. Second of all, during the time I've been a member of your company, your little group here, you have lost my data twice.
Ooh.
Twice.
Mm.
So why don't you stop chirping about my phone number?
You don't think they sold it, do you?
No chance. But the folks in Phoenix City, they've got their act together.
They do.
That's we appreciate them. The folks in one of the, I don't even know which court this is. It doesn't even matter. There is a
district court in California, isn't it?
Yes, we are at with Live Golf. We got Matt Vanderpool's coming up on the program. That's an uplifting story. Everything that's going on here at Dogwood, that's an uplifting story. Great tournament going on at the Wyndham Championship. Uplifting story. Women's British Open is going on. Uplifting story. You can look up all of those. But that's not where we're at, because Ollie and I sat here in these chairs, not these exact chairs, but the chairs over at the studios at the Battery, and told you what was going to happen with this LIV Golf situation. We told you that it was going to come down to the major championships and world golf ranking points, and that it was going to be settled in court. And earlier this week, in whatever that district court is up there in Northern California, there is a lawsuit about there. So there they are in court, arguing about world golf ranking points and talking about tampering with the major championships. It is a it's an antitrust lawsuit. There are elements of it against the PGA Tour. And there's a temporary injunction side of this, because there are three players that would not have gotten in the FedEx Cup playoffs that want to play, and they start next week. They start on Thursday. First shot struck in Memphis on Thursday.
Yes.
So Tour Championship's right around the corner. And
yeah, the playoffs start next week.
Question is, will the LIV guys be a part of it or not?
Well, we know they're not going to be a part of it until at least Wednesday. Because they are not welcome on property Monday or Tuesday.
The court ruling is supposed, or the court deliberations are supposed to happen on Tuesday.
Yes.
So if there's going to be a special temporary injunction. All right, so let's start with that. Scottish Open, a couple of players got a special, I think six of them wound up getting a special temporary injunction.
They went to some, I don't know what kangaroo courts they have over there in Europe, but it was some world arbitration of sport court or some made-up thing.
Yeah.
They probably wear wigs.
Yeah, they were, who knows what, I think Mr. Bean had snuck in there.
Yeah, I think, like, he actually is the head justice.
He gave the ruling, and because he was just pretending that he was supposed to be there. He really was, you know, looking for a sandwich or something like that.
Yeah.
So they won that one.
Yes, the Kangaroo Court ruled in their favor. The players were allowed to play in the Scottish Open.
And so the additional element there, what makes that one a little bit different than this one, the European Tour had let these players play in Germany because they just weren't prepared. In reality, they didn't know who they were going to side with yet. So they let those guys.
They were waiting for checks to be written.
Yes, they're in the catbird seat.
Maybe even waited for them to clear.
Maybe, because LIV was throwing money at them. PGA Tour was going to throw money at them. They were able to sit there in the middle and wait to get the best offer they got. And I don't know if they got it, but they decided to side with the PGA Tour, and we're happy they did.
Yes.
So they decided to side with the PGA Tour the week of the Scottish Open. Then they say, okay, you guys can't play anymore. You played in the one, you can't play in the Scottish Open, because the Scottish Open is a co-sanctioned event with the PGA Tour. So there are players, and this does apply to Memphis, that had been suspended from the PGA Tour that thought they could play because it was also a European Tour event. We're Yes. sitting here at Dogwood. I am also fortunate enough to be a member over at Pine Tree. If this was a dual club championship, and we were playing both groups here, mm-hmm. and I had been suspended at Pine Tree, I wouldn't think that I could play in this here because I hadn't been suspended here. But that's the situation we have. These guys were suspended from one tour. The DP World Tour did not suspend them. But because this was a co-sanctioned event, they thought, well, let's see. And Mr. Bean in the court with the wigs let them in.
Yes.
All right. That's what happened back then. That was way back in July.
Correct.
That was a month ago.
Got it. Just a month, really?
Yeah, it's not even a full month.
This LIV stuff is making golf time stand still.
Yes. So that's what happened then. You need to know that, because now these guys have been suspended since March.
Which is the big difference. And I'm glad that you're getting to this point, because the timing of you're not allowed to play in Europe and the players' reaction to that to try and get an injunction was nearly immediate.
Yes.
It's a longer runway here that Taylor Gooch, Hudson Swafford, and Matt Jones are looking for here. They had plenty of time to file any sort of injunction that they wanted to file.
Yes. They have been told, and they had been told multiple times. The PGA Tour said, if you go play over there,
you can't play here.
You can't play here. And there is a process about conflicting event releases, and Ollie and I have been up one side and down the other side on that.
Yes.
They went through the process. The tour was very obvious. Look, you can have it for this one, but you can't have it for these. There's a limit. There are geographic restrictions. There's all the rules. And they told them, if you break this rule, you are suspended.
Yes.
They were not unclear about that.
No.
That was a given. If anything, maybe we didn't cover that enough on this show because it was obvious.
It was obvious.
You break this rule, you're suspended. Max Scherzer can't throw two innings for the Braves today because the Mets will suspend him.
Yeah, they would be upset with that.
You can't do that.
No, he can't do that.
You just can't.
No.
And if he did, goes and throws the second inning for the Braves. Or goes and plays left field for an, I don't know what the, but it's just dumb example. Then he can't go walk back. He's expecting to walk back over to their dugout and hang out there with the Mets for the rest of the game? That's what this lawsuit is. They were told, A, if you do this, you're going to be suspended. Then they were told, you are suspended. Now they're saying, well, but we want to play in the playoffs. Okay, that's great. You're suspended. For something we told you you were going to be suspended for. And by the way, the thing they told them they were going to be suspended for is not unreasonable.
No. Not to go all the way back to these earlier conversations that you and I have been completely right about from the beginning, but there is membership criteria that you agree to and that you sign a paper saying you will abide by
every year
in order to be a member of the PGA Tour.
Every year.
A membership of the tour comes with certain privileges. There's a really nice pension plan. A lot of people say it's one of the best in the world of sports.
What makes these guys not independent contractors?
They're not independent contractors.
Not even close.
And I'll tell you who is definitely not an independent contractor. The three knuckleheads that are coming over here suing to try and get into the FedEx Cup playoffs.
Right.
They have an employee. So I don't want to hear independent contractor arguments from the live people anymore. You are employees of an employer, and your employer happens to be the Saudi Arabian government. And I'm not saying that for political or moral stance.
That's who
the reality is they work for somebody. And I question whether or not these three players are doing this of their own volition or whether their employer has told them, you need to do this.
I think that's probably more likely than the first scenario. It doesn't matter. They're doing it.
They are.
I don't mind that they're doing it. I don't blame them for doing it. You got to ask.
I blame them for doing it. And I blame them for this reason. I will go back to what Justin Thomas said early on in this process, is if you want to go, go. But if you want to go and theoretically diminish the value of the very tour that gave you the platform to create all these millions of dollars by going, don't come back and try and usurp that. Just go.
Right.
Just go. Leave. Build your own program. Make it the best in the world. Get more than 53,000 people to tune in on YouTube and watch the thing. But go do it. Don't come back over here.
Why are they coming back? That's the question that a lot of PGA Tour players are asking. Why are you coming back? You've been telling us now for a year how good this tour is going to be. You've now got players over there that are playing. All they're telling us as they read their talking points is how good the tour is. Why do you want to come back?
Well, there's a long answer to that question.
They want to come back to get the FedEx Cup money that they played some events for. Well, they're going to get some.
I think it's bigger than that. I think at the end of the day, this has been my position for a very long time. In order for these multi-billion dollar investments that have already been made by LIV to pay off at any point in the future, the PGA Tour has to be diminished because you have to be able to collect all that money that the PGA Tour is getting, and whether it's the number one rights fee in the world of golf, whether it's corporate sponsorship, whether it's attendance, you have to diminish the value of the PGA Tour in order to create the value that you need to offset multiple billions of dollars of investment. So that's what this is about. Yep. It's not about FedEx
Cup
money.
You got to have it all. So they're in court.
I will tell you this, though. Of all the golfers that have defected, that have, you know, chosen to apply their craft in a different venue, the ones that have resigned their tour membership, I have a great deal more respect for than those 11, I think, that are named in the lawsuit of suing the PGA Tour.
They made their choice.
They did, and they left the tour behind, and they're not part of the lawsuit. They simply moved on. Good for them. And I don't know that entire list, but I know
it doesn't even matter.
Patrick Reed's on it.
Yeah.
Good
Patrick
for him.
Reed said, and there were some legal reasons why he needed to resign, because when you were playing in the competing events, you were subject to a lawsuit if you were still a PGA Tour member.
Yeah.
You were subject to fines. So they resigned, so they're out of that, which also then means they can't come back. That's fine.
Good for them.
Yeah, good for them. The question is, why would they want to come back? All right, well, why do they want to come back? Hey, look, let's look at the last 2 weeks. Tony Finau's won the last two PGA Tour events. He won $1.2 and $1.1 million or thereabouts. He won two 72-hole PGA Tour events, won a little bit more, a little bit less than $3 million. A lot less than $3 million, or let's call it a little bit less than $3 million. For winning two 72-hole PGA Tour events against full fields over four rounds. Henrik Stenson played 54 holes against 47 other players and won $4.5 million. What do you want to come back for?
I mean, that's a big payoff for an exhibition.
Yes.
It is a big payoff.
And
for a guy ranked 175th in the world, by the way, he hasn't won on the PGA Tour in 6 years.
Yeah.
So that's a good place for Henrik Stenson to be.
He'd be sixth in this club championship right
yeah.
now.
Yeah. Do you think he'd make the championship point?
I don't know that he'd have the last tee time.
Probably not.
He definitely wouldn't be worth a darn if he was playing in the net division.
Not with these handicaps.
Henrik Stenson in the net division. Henrik Stenson in the net division here at the Dogwood Club Championship would be in dead last in every single one of those fictional sheets of paper.
They are fictional.
Dead
yeah.
last.
Mm.
Fictional sheets of paper. Special welcome to those of you who may have been wanting to come over and say hello. Talk about one of those fictional sheets of paper. What this is going to come down to, what at least one element of this court case is going to come down to is damages. Can you prove damages? And it's going to be really hard for the LIV players to prove damages when, as we just said, Henrik Stenson in 1 week out-earned Tony Finau in 2 weeks, and they both won.
Yeah, I think that's something to make pretty clear on this Tuesday, waiting for the decision to come out. This doesn't change anything. All they're going to rule on is the temporary injunction for the three players to play in the FedEx Cup playoffs. If they decide that they can, that doesn't mean that the PGA Tour is going to lose the antitrust lawsuit. If they decide that they can, it doesn't mean the PGA Tour is going to win. This is going to be a very long, many years, unfortunately, process before we get final resolution on the antitrust elements. We will get some resolution on whether the three get to play in the FedEx Cup playoffs. And let me tell you what a contentious locker room that will cause.
Yes, because the other half of this lawsuit, the antitrust part of this, now the LIV players are suing the PGA Tour. As Davis Love III pointed out, he lives in a small community, Sea Island, Georgia. He says, I've got neighbors down there that are playing for this other group, and they are suing me. If LIV wins this lawsuit, that is Davis's money they're winning. That's Zach Johnson's money they're winning. That's Tiger's money they're winning. That's everybody who stayed behind's money that they are winning if they were to win.
Yeah, and I think that's a really important point to make. I've talked to a lot of my friends that, certainly are not, deep into the world of golf. And they kind of look at this conflict between LIV and the PGA Tour and Jay Monahan in similar familiarity to, a player's strike or a lockout, where it's the players against the ownership group.
Yeah.
This is not the players against an ownership group. This
no.
is LIV against the PGA Tour players. The PGA Tour is made up of its membership, which are the players. They are on the advisory council board. They make the final decisions. Jay Monahan and his team are there to serve the membership. The membership does not serve them. So this is not players against ownership. This is the LIV Golf players and their employer suing Justin Thomas, Billy Horschel, Davis Love III. You're suing the players. So if these three players get on property, there might be some interesting conversations.
Yeah.
Or there might be no conversations.
Yeah, this is not. It just turned unfriendly between the players. To this point, every comment we've gotten from the players has been pretty on the fence. Hey, the guys that have stayed have all referenced the size of the money and look, what would we all do with the size of the money. A few of them have referenced the source of the money, but not too many.
No.
They've all tried to give their friends who went a line back. That's gone now. That's over with.
Yeah. You're pulling the lifesaver back into the boat.
Yeah.
Good luck.
And the guys that went who haven't referenced the money, which a lot of folks are just waiting, hey, just tell me you went for the money.
Yeah.
They won't reference the money because they've been told they can't reference the money. Now they're coming back to sue for more money, and this time it belongs to the guy that bit his tongue. The guy that bit his tongue is done biting his tongue.
I think one of the toughest questions for the LIV guys to answer was one of their early talking points was, we're doing this to grow the game of golf. So maybe this is his answer. Maybe the lawsuit and, creating a permanent rift between professional tours, maybe that's how they plan to grow the game.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't know what's going on there. That's where we're at, though. Erin Thorne, the ladies' golf coach at Kennesaw State University, has joined me, the voice of the Owls, and Ollie Dean, the voice of the Owls, here at Dogwood. Aaron, welcome.
Yeah, thanks.
You didn't know what you were walking into.
I had no clue.
You did know enough to wear the victory red.
Everybody is trying to inspire you this morning,
Brian. How did you know to wear the victory red?
It's a little bit of luck, but while I was walking my dog, it hit me that I'm in the right colors.
It was the
long sleeve shirt at the top while walking the dog.
So while you were walking your dog, you thought of Brian.
Yeah.
Happens to me all the time.
That's a good caddy, right? Always thinking about your player.
Happens to me all the time.
That is great.
Jeez. Especially when she stops for a minute. Then I definitely think about Brian.
Thank you for that. Aaron has come in on brand with her Adidas red top and her black shorts. Ollie's come in with his red Tour Championship top. All the cart boys here, notice they're all wearing red shirts.
Everybody's trying. It's a sign.
Yeah. They're here to support.
Speaking of the Tour Championship, great conversation with Alex Urban last week.
Yes.
Let's go buy some tickets.
Let's buy some tickets. TourChampionship.com.
Get some tickets.
Is the spot. They're going to have 30, they're going to have the 30 best players. That we know.
We do know that.
I don't think they're going to have 32 players. But for you and a ticket holder, who cares?
Yeah, I don't think Taylor Gooch can sue his way into the Tour Championship.
It's hard to do that.
It's going to be challenging.
Even if he did, you as a ticket holder, that's just one more guy to watch.
One more guy to watch.
What do you care? All right, we're going to take a break. Aaron Thorne is with us. We are live at Dogwood. Club Championship is going on. Matt Vanderpool from the Georgia State Golf Association is at a great event in Savannah. He's going to tell us all about it next. It's the Golf Show on the Fan, 680 and 93.7 FM.
And now it's time for Who's Driving? Brought to you by Ray Judice. If you're facing DUI charges, you need a DUI lawyer who will step up to the tee for you. Call Ray Sell at 404-964-4185 to schedule an appointment.
Well, Henrik Stenson is driving away from captaincy, the European Ryder Cup. He drove right away, just left it.
In a Brinks truck?
In a Brinks truck. But it didn't take the European Tour long to name their new Ryder Cup captain.
Rory McIlroy.
That would have been something.
That was my pick.
It's not a bad pick. Mm. They went with Luke Donald.
That's a good pick.
Yeah. Luke Donald was in the mix to be Ryder Cup captain before. Honestly, they had to...
How many additional addendums do you think they added to that contract?
At this point, do you even need it? You know?
Pretty sure. I mean, Greg says he's got another $2 billion he's sitting on over there, so I wouldn't put it past them to try and sharpen another stick and put it in the Ryder Cup's eye by going after Luke Donald.
Yeah. So it's going to be Zach Johnson versus Luke Donald in Italy coming up next year, as far as the captains are concerned.
Are you excited about the President's Cup this year?
Well, I'm excited about the fact that it's going to be a complete mess. This year could be a complete mess. Yes, I'm
excited for more Davis Love soundbites.
Yeah, yeah. So that's Who's Driving, brought to you by Ray Judice, who also brings you the interview of the month, joining us from Savannah, Georgia, actually Richmond Hill, Georgia, the Ford Field and River Club, which is stunning. The CEO of the Georgia State Golf Association, Matt Vanderpool. Matt, welcome to the show. How are you doing?
Doing great. Good morning.
Good morning, Matt.
We've had a busy morning here on the program. You're providing a much-needed respite from all of the live talk.
Matt, I've got a very important question to start this interview off with, though.
Are you wearing a red shirt, Ollie?
Oh, Matt!
I knew it was coming. That's not our team uniform today, unfortunately.
Well, tell us what the team uniform is, and why are you wearing uniform? What is the uniform? What are you doing down there?
Yeah, so we are, again, at the Ford Field and River Club, conducting our annual Georgia-South Carolina Girls Junior Challenge match. We play these matches on an annual basis. With South Carolina, we have girls' matches and boys' matches. We had the boys' matches last week at the Savannah Golf Club and won those matches. Today's the final round of these Georgia-South Carolina girls' matches. We are up 12 points to 6 points after yesterday's first round. But these matches annually pit the top 6 finishers in each state's respective girls' junior championship. We bring them together. We alternate hosting every other year and just play two rounds of singles matches. So it's a wonderful contest, an opportunity. You know, in golf, you don't get to play team play all that much. But this is a wonderful opportunity to showcase the best young ladies in Georgia and South Carolina in a fun competitive environment.
What a great idea, and what a great host spot there, Ford Field and River Club. It used to be the Ford Plantation. I've been lucky enough to play down there, Matt. How do you put that in your own words, what it is you're, where it is you guys are playing right now?
It doesn't get much better than this, BK. I mean, it's interesting for those that haven't been here. The front nine and the back nine are pretty drastically different from an architecture standpoint. It's a peat dye design, so you can imagine it's a pretty challenging layout. But just the history of this property and the golf course itself, I mean, these girls are in for a treat this weekend, and we've had nothing but amazing accolades for the golf course and the facilities here.
Gotta love it. All right, so I saw one of the tweets, Matt Vanderpool, our guest, Georgia State Golf Association, referring to the Georgia team as the Peaches.
Yes.
Is it South Carolina's the Palmetto State, right? That's a tree. I don't think they want to be the trees. Are we picking mascots, or did you guys just make that up for Twitter?
Well, we actually do a mid-am and senior women's match with South Carolina, and it's called the Peach Palmetto Match. So kind of a carryover from that. We're kind of Team Peaches being from Georgia, and they're kind of Team Palmetto being from South Carolina. So just trying to make it fun and interesting here for the girls. So all good.
So they are trees.
They're trees. Yeah.
They are trees. Yeah.
And works. I mean, yeah. Stanford Cardinal, they have a tree as a mascot.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Busy point in the schedule. You guys were just down there in that area. By the way, lots of action down there in that southeastern part of the state. The State Am was down there. Assess where we're at now for the Georgia State Golf Association. You just got through with a bunch of great events. What's left on the schedule for the year?
Yeah, we're past the midway point. We had three championships wrap up this past week. Our match play, our women's match play, and our super senior. We got a couple of, I guess, a week off, and then we're back at it with our women's senior is going to be played at Cherokee. And then later on in September, we've got our public links championship at Woodmont, and our men's senior is going to be at Green Island over in Columbus area. And then, past that, we've still got four or five more championships before we round out our year. So, like I said, past the midway point, but still going strong with our competitive season.
Matt, I love how you just run through those venues kind of matter-of-factly, but again, the GSGA comes up with some of the greatest venues in the state to hold their competitions. Congratulations on that roster of courses.
Well, Ollie, we couldn't do it without our host clubs. I mean, they love to have us, and we're very privileged to be able to showcase some of the best courses in Georgia. You know, here we are this weekend. You know, these folks from South Carolina haven't been to the Ford before, but they're, you know, seeing it firsthand and you know, undoubtedly going to go back and share what a wonderful experience they had here. And so, yes, we're very privileged again to be able to contest our championships at the very best courses in Georgia.
Well, you're at one of them right now, as you just mentioned. Matt, we appreciate your time. Best of luck to the Georgia Peaches.
Go Peaches.
As they got the gigantic lead. Has anybody ever come back from down 12-6, Matt?
I don't know, BK. We don't we don't have the records in place.
I don't think we've ever lost this tournament.
We're going to declare it.
Yeah, I think we're undefeated against the state of South Carolina forever.
The media is going to run with the story, Matt. You're not responsible anymore.
Perfect, perfect. Yeah, we'll look into that. Get back to you on it. Well, good luck to you this afternoon too.
Thank you very much. 10:05 is the tee time. This show ends at 9:58, so we're set. We're all set.
Turn around.
Yeah, that's no big deal. Matt, you are the man. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Matt.
Thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.
You got it. That's Matt Vanderpool, CEO. Oh, I forgot to ask him.
What a list of courses.
CEO of the Georgia State Golf Association.
Chief Executive Officer.
He was the Executive Director.
Not anymore.
He's the CEO.
Apparently, he's moving up in the world.
The buck stops there.
He is the top of the pyramid.
They didn't have a CEO before.
Everything flows downhill from him.
Erin Thorne, are you okay? Erin Thorne is here. She's with us. She's probably wishing she had slept in at this point. Ladies golf coach at Kennesaw State University. This is what we do. We carry on.
Perfect.
Yeah, you're okay with that.
Of course.
Yeah. You guys are in between seasons over there at Kennesaw State.
We are. We're, getting kids back on campus this week primarily, and then we hit the ground running for our tournament season.
Yeah. This is such a weird world we live in. There's Matt talking about junior girls golf, and I'm thinking, like, Aaron can't ask a question because that could be a recruiting violation.
It could have been a recruiting violation.
Like, I can't even imagine what world you live in. Were you even allowed to listen to that? Are you allowed to even read this story?
Sure. Okay, yeah, those are all good, yeah.
We don't want to get you in any trouble.
I appreciate it.
Now, we had one of her student-athletes on our show, Tori Owens.
That's right.
Signed an NIL deal with this very club.
Mm-hmm.
You probably can't talk about that either.
I mean, not the details of it and that sort of thing, but yeah. She did.
She's got a deal with the Dogwood Golf Club. Yeah, that's another thing that's this. So our audience is very familiar with the football side of things, mm-hmm. and the whole world got familiar with it when the coaches started going at each other in the SEC media days. How is this affecting the world of college golf?
I mean, from what I've experienced, it's very minimal, especially with our team being so international. The international kids can't secure any here because of their student visa restrictions. So,
oh, interesting.
Yeah. So, I mean, with a student visa, you can't work any off-campus jobs, and, you know, signing an NIL deal would be considered one of those off-campus jobs. So, I mean, aside from Tori, it's been pretty quiet.
Now, to that point, if they, let's say they were from Finland and they signed an NIL deal with a Finnish company,
mm-hmm.
then could they come over
Definitely.
And continue that? They just can't sign with the company over here.
Exactly.
So how does this affect Alabama football?
That's what I'm trying to figure out.
Or Georgia football. You can't have the Australian punter.
Unless
that's really the only guy you want.
Kia sponsored him in Australia, and then he can come over.
Get right, Foster's.
Foster's.
Right. But then I don't know that we're even going to know that. It's not like he's going to have a Foster's patch on the jersey.
No.
But I don't think those are the only international players that creep into college starting rosters, at least at this point. I don't know.
Don't agree with that.
Could be wrong about that. But that is interesting that no international NIL deals.
Right.
Wow. So you guys are gearing up. You were telling me this. Where is the Kennesaw State women's team going this fall?
Yeah, so the fall schedule, we start by heading up to Penn State.
Happy Valley,
yeah. And then we'll head out west to Vail, Colorado for the Golf Week Red Sky Classic. And then we head actually over to Savannah Golf Club for Georgia Southern's event. And then we wrap up our season at Old Stone, tournament hosted by Western Kentucky and Louisville, where they just hosted the USGA Junior Girls.
Gotta love that. And I thought for a second that's where we went and played Old Stone, but we were actually playing in Tennessee.
Yes.
We were in Nashville.
We were in Nashville.
It may have been Graystone or something. It's some sort of a stone.
It was Graystone.
Yeah. That's, I wasn't that far off.
It was close.
I missed by a state.
Well, that's about by how far we missed qualifying as well.
Yeah, we missed it by about a state.
You'd have done better keeping score in Memphis.
Yeah, we tried. Okay, so they're just a flashback. Because Erin showed up and she was acting as my caddy yesterday. Now, she couldn't carry the bag, not allowed to walk, so, you know, it was a very passive role. But as a spiritual guide, she was tremendous.
A mental Sherpa, if you will.
I did ask her to read a couple of putts, which, too, is... I've been here for 25 years.
Still tricky.
It's still tricky. She got the two reads correctly. Do you remember how many putts one of the two of us didn't read in Nashville?
No.
There was only one.
Oh.
Yes, it was late in the round. We were already eliminated by then. But Henry actually came in and read it.
Oh, I do remember that.
And he nailed it.
He nailed it.
And we made it.
Yeah.
I wish that would have mattered.
Yeah, I've blocked that entire weekend completely out. Not our best competitive performance in our history of playing together.
Yeah, yeah. So, Aaron, before we take this break... We're for 20 minutes we're talking about all about the LIV Golf stuff. Tuesday, it comes to a head on Tuesday. At least phase one comes to a head on Tuesday. Right. What do you think?
It's that whole idea of, you know, it seems like they want their cake and eat it too kind of idea.
Yeah.
You know, it's a lot of money and why do you want to come back to a place that, you know, you thought was treating you terrible.
So I think that's a great spot to put a pin in because J.J. Colleen, I believe it, no, it wasn't J.J., it may have been Max Homa. Somebody on Twitter said exactly that. They want their cake
And I think it was Joel Damon, actually. I saw
it was Joel Damon.
Yeah. Well, you guys aren't seeing the tweet that I saw because he stopped right there and he was quarreling with that phrase. First of all, if you have a cake, if it's your cake, why do you not get to eat it? Of course you want to eat it, too. Who in the world gets given a cake and doesn't get to eat it? Where did this phrase come from?
Was it the Marie Antoinette let them eat cake and it evolved from that?
I don't know, but it seemed as though, she, political ramifications aside, she was offering to share cake.
But and it cost her her head.
But it still seemed like she got the first shot at the cake.
Yeah, she owned the cake when she said, let them eat cake.
Yes. So, yeah, she got killed because she offered the cake. It just seems like...
I don't think she really offered it. She just assumed everybody had cake.
See, now you're getting us sidetracked. Not me. I'm not getting us sidetracked. I just don't understand that phrase. If you have the cake, you should
be able
to
eat it. Can I come in here, Brian?
Derek Thomas.
I think.
With a clarification.
I've always thought about it as saying, I want to eat my cake, and then I still want to have my cake, too. Wow. So does that make sense? So once you eat your cake, you don't have any more cake. So I want to eat the cake and still have cake in my back pocket at the same time. Does that make sense? That's the way I've always thought about it.
Even if that's not right, Derek, that's what it should be. That is utterly brilliant.
I agree.
That's what the phrase should be.
You going to give me credit?
I'm giving you Derek Thomas.
Put it on the board. Unfortunately, Derek, we don't have our intern this week, so your name will not go on the tote board.
Yes. Adam beat Ollie to the building last week and decided he gets a week off.
He's
going to
celebrate for this.
Beat it by 2 minutes because we had a little parking snafu.
Yeah, well.
They definitely want to eat whatever Derek said. Yeah. That's what they want.
They want to eat their cake and have it, too.
And still have it left over for them. I can't see a scenario where that's going to happen. I just can't. No. And when we come back, we'll talk about the other mutations. The other thing that Davis said after he talked about my neighbors are suing me, he talked about the possibility that the tour players won't play. Why did he talk about that? Why did he say that? Is that feasible? Well, no, it's not. But we'll tell you why he said it, because it's more feasible than you think when we come back. We are live at the Dogwood Golf Club. Club championship is going on. They don't have the trophy sitting out there on the desk. That's all right. I'll just keep it. It's The Golf Show on The Fan, 680 and 93.7 FM.
Two of Atlanta's best golf experts right here on Atlanta's Golf Station. Now more of The Golf Show with Brian Katrick and Ali Dean on Atlanta's sports station, The Fan.
Georgia PGA is busy this week. The L&J Georgia Open up there at Jennings Mill. Up near Athens.
Bogart, Georgia.
Austin Morrison is the leader by 2 shots over Ryan Elmore. There's an amateur, Jackson Buchanan, in third. Stanton Shore from down there in Columbus. The Country Club of Columbus is in also tied for third. But 11 under par through 3 rounds up there at Jennings Mill.
Great golf course.
Yeah.
Have you played Jennings Mill?
I have. I got to play.
Did you hit the house trying to cut the corner?
I probably did. I don't even know it. I guess I've only played it once. So I don't know specifically which hole you're talking about, but that definitely sounds like the type of thing I would do. L&J, Georgia Open, GeorgiaPGA.com if you want to follow along. Erin Thorne is with us, ladies golf coach at Kennesaw State University. She's the voice of the Owls.
Yes, we all are. All of us are voice of the Owls.
I could be wrong about that, but if I was, I wouldn't be the first one that was wrong about that.
That is true.
So
there would be a precedent of somebody else being wrong.
Yes. Will Zalatoris.
Oh, got a divorce.
Got a divorce. Fires
in the middle
caddy.
Of a tournament.
Middle of a tournament.
Oh, and they were boys, too.
He and Ryan Goebel. Yeah, that was his first full-time caddy. He'd been with him this entire run inside the top 50 of the world golf rankings and said all the things, all these quotes that it just wasn't working out. He says, there were guys that we'd love to have. It doesn't matter what the quotes are. He wants to stay with Ryan, but it was time.
Yeah, bottom line, I think he said, you know, they're really close. They go to dinner all the time. They're really good friends, but they started to have some problems off the golf course, and that bled onto the golf course, and they had problems on the golf course that were bleeding off the golf course. So it was to salvage the relationship better that they split now than continue.
Yeah.
So after Friday's round, his coach, I believe his swing coach, became his caddy.
Josh Gregory. Josh Gregory was the head men's golf coach at Augusta State back when it was Augusta State, mm-hmm. and when they won the back-to-back national championships.
There you go.
Henrik Norlander and Patrick Reed. Josh Gregory was the coach. He then went to SMU, and he was Bryson's coach there. He is now going to caddy for Will Zalatoris. That is not going to be the situation going forward. He's going to find somebody somebody permanent. But
yeah, that'd be a job a lot of people are raising their hand for.
Yeah, that was a good team. And the PGA Tour came out with their schedule, the official schedule, by the way. They released that. It's very similar to this year's schedule. A couple differences. The British Open is a week later, so that pushes...
The Open Championship?
I don't know which Open you're talking about.
The Open.
Which Open?
The Open.
I'm not taking the bait there.
I love how that played out, though. The British Open, what are you talking, Open Championship?
I see the Valero Open? Texas
the Open.
The Open. Your co-host is simply being belligerent.
What kind of kangaroo court? Rules in favor of the players?
So it slides a week later, which means the Rocket Mortgage Classic winds up having to go earlier. It takes the 4th of July slot. These are nobody cares. The big change is, because that's all going to work, the purses are up at a bunch of the events. Mm-hmm. And after the Tour Championship of next year, which is going to happen August, it's going to end on August 27th. That's it. No more fall season.
Yes.
This is next year. And we're going to finish this year's
Tour Championship. There will be fall events.
Yes.
But they will not be part of the FedEx Cup playoffs.
Right. And those fall events are where the wiggle room is with Davis Love III. Davis Love is now saying there might be a compromise. What was the tease? The tease was something live-related.
The tease was Davis Love came out with what seemed like a very severe idea, right. But there may be some credibility to it.
Here's what he said. If somehow they start losing lawsuits... And the court says, oh, well, these guys get to play in the playoffs, even though they're suspended. If you tell the PGA Tour players that were suspended for breaking rules that you followed.
That you created.
That you created and you followed, and that all these guys that broke the rules, they get to play with you. Davis is suggesting those guys aren't going to play. We'll just not play.
Boycott.
Boycott.
Walkout.
A strike.
Yes.
As it were.
Do you think that, could you see like Billy Horschel holding a sign, you know, no scabs allowed? And I mean, the political cartoons of this would be great. You know, Taylor Gooch and Matt Jones outside the fence of the factory trying to get inside to earn their daily wage.
Well, specifically in Memphis, where they don't play, there's nobody, it's the top 125 in FedEx Cup points, period.
Yes.
If a guy pulls out, 126 doesn't get in.
No, which was the big thing where they talked about the suspended players not getting in is they were going to go down the list to fill to 125.
Which they did. Yes. They announced an eligibility points list.
Now, are those guys in? Are we going to have 128?
No, it's 125. Yeah, so if three guys get in, they'd have to play 128. They're not going to kick somebody out of
They're not going to kick a tour member out to make room for somebody that's on suspension.
They will still cut to 70. They're going to have, and I'm not talking about cutting in the event. I'm talking about from this event to the BMW Championship. We go from 125 in points down to 70 in points. No ties. 70. So only 70 will start the following week in Wilmington.
See, Delaware. I think the PGA Tour should give a point bonus for everybody that's not suspended. So if you're not suspended and these other three players get in, you automatically start with 100 more points than you normally would.
Okay, that would be... I'm glad they're not doing that. That's a heck of an idea. But Davis has thought about a walkout or a boycott. That's never going to happen,
no.
Aaron. They're not going to do that. You think?
No.
No. But here's what it does do. If it's at least plausible, if the thought is we would have to play Memphis, 125-player field with three players, we're going to play with three, then it does give the PGA Tour plausibility to say we can't play under these circumstances. Our members are not playing. We can't play. So that event you just sued to get in, we're not having it.
Yeah, it's an interesting idea not happening.
It would be an utter disaster.
Oh, from a corporate sponsorship side, from a ticket sales side, from a hospitality side, from a television contract side, the cost of canceling the FedEx Cup playoff would be astronomical.
They could just postpone it until, you know, this is a temporary injunction. Let's get the permanent case. We can wait.
You're going to wait 3 years?
I don't know.
It's going to take a long time for that antitrust to filter its way through the courts.
It's more legal positioning and more legal wrangling. At this point, we're not bored with it because it just started. We'll be bored with it pretty soon.
I'm disappointed by it.
Yeah.
I'm saddened by it. Yeah. Unfortunately, I'm not surprised by it.
Sometimes he just says it better than anybody else can say it, Aaron.
Yeah, and I mean, you got to think back to 94 and what that strike did for baseball.
You know, I say that. You say that.
Yeah, she said that.
She said that.
This is not a he said, she said.
I was taking credit for it. Derek has been through this. I've been through this. All the work stoppages and all the sports, we get tons of passionate fans that call, oh, I'm done. I'm done with baseball. I'm done with. You're not done, and you've never been done.
It's not the passionate ones. It's the fringe ones.
It's your casuals.
The fringe ones. Yeah. You don't lose the fringe ones with a work stoppage. I'd love for that to be the case. I'd love for the fact, you know, we wouldn't because you're a hockey fan. I'm a hockey fan. Hockey had this situation. You'd love to think that you didn't lose anybody.
Hockey had a lockout?
See.
From Cleveland, Ohio. We don't watch hockey.
But in reality, you don't actually lose any fans. They say that you do. Oh, I haven't watched a game since 97. Boy, that was fun last night, though. I was, you know, you're watching. So, I don't know that that's, in theory, that's a thing. I don't know that in reality that's a thing. But you hope not. I mean, how's hockey? Are they back?
Yes, they're back. Yeah, they're back. But what are the viewerships and that sort of thing? I don't know.
Well, they're probably better than they've been in a long time because you just went back on ESPN.
Is the NHL still a thing?
Is what?
Is the NHL still a thing?
Stop!
Just in Toronto, because they're still praying for that Stanley Cup.
All right, well, that makes sense.
They've got the parade route all set again.
We are on the tee in a few minutes. My clubs are down on that cart.
Are you getting that butterfly feeling?
No, I'm turning my computer off.
Leaned over, I didn't know if you were getting nervous.
I don't think we're going to hit any range balls. Are we okay, Aaron?
I think we're good to go.
Okay. She's very low-key caddy.
It's a good caddy for you.
She's very low-key. She figured out to remind me about tempo. That worked.
You hit some greens.
Yeah.
I'm still doing the grip pressure?
Yeah.
Gripping it like heck with the left hand?
Yeah. That keeps it from going hard left. That worked most of the day, except for once. Thanks to everybody here at Dogwood. Aaron, thanks for coming over.
Yeah.
That's pleasure
get that
to
trophy.
Meet you.
You too.
Yes. Braves and Mets, 4:10 first pitch from Citi Field. Have a great Sunday, everybody.
3:00 Central Time.
Spring is here and baseball is back. You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Support for Extra 106.3 comes from Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy, celebrating their 35th anniversary and offering gift cards in-store and online. You can discover Mother's Day and anniversary presents online at Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy at naturalbody.com.
Hi, I'm Mark Beckham with Atlanta Ramjack. We specialize in only foundation repair. What is foundation repair? Foundations sink or settle. These issues need to be addressed. It only becomes more costly the longer you put it off. What is the biggest cause of foundation problem? Either poor construction, inferior site preparation, or weather. Drought causes cracks in your foundations. If you see any signs of foundation issues, please contact us at atlantaramjack.com.